Well, good morning, church. Happy Sunday to you. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my office. And we are still meeting at the church on Sundays. So we have, out of the four home fellowships, we have three home fellowships currently meeting at the church now. One is remaining. We're still waiting to see what's going to happen with the lockdown and if we're going to be given the ability to go to the next level, which would be our church would be at 50%. So we'll let you know, keep you in the loop on that. We are still on Sunday mornings going through the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And on Wednesday nights, 2 weeks ago, we started our study in Ephesians. And so if you have any interest in that, I would highly recommend that you come on Wednesdays. It's the service that we have right now that includes the entire church. So you're going to see pretty much the whole entire body, which on Sunday is just a partial with the home fellowship still meeting. So anyways, hope all is well with you guys. We're going to be talking about the cost of following Jesus this evening. I want to kind of begin with what Jesus didn't mean when he said that we were to pick up the cross and follow him. If you read the section that we're coming upon now, just give you a quick background. Jesus has already huddled the disciples, selected them, picked them, and he equipped them with power to overcome evil, to heal sickness and disease, and to speak with authority. He gave them a location to go to, which is the lost sheep of Israel. He gave them some marching orders on what to bring, which was basically nothing. No money, no extra clothes. He told them that they would be sleeping in any home that would welcome them, and to note the homes that did not welcome them because he would judge them. Then he said that there was going to be widespread persecution and that they are not to fear. And we talked about that last week. And this week we're going to be talking about the count of the cost, really counting the cost to follow Jesus and what that means. So when many people interpret the cross, some people, they look at it as a burden. They say things like, well, this is, you know, a thankless job. It's a physical illness that they have. And, you know, this is a cross I have to bear, which means it has absolutely nothing to do with what Jesus was talking about. And I see, you know, they pretty much say this with self-pity and pride. That again, that's their cross to bury. And his interpretation, or his statement of take up your cross and follow me, it is necessary to interpret what he means. And so only the people that of that time would have really understood it, because when we think of a cross, we think of a physical cross that one wears around his neck, or a physical cross that we may see in church, things of that nature. But to the first person in the first century, the cross meant one thing, and that meant death, and a most painful death at that. So I want to keep that in mind as we go through our text this morning, and we're going to be talking about counting the cost in verse 34 of chapter 10. That's Matthew 10, 34. It says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous man as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cold cup of water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you that that person will certainly not lose their reward." So, why are we here this morning? We're here to study, show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth, and that's what we will do this morning. Rightly divide the word of truth. Bearing a cross does not mean your burden, right? This is rightly dividing the word of truth. It's much deeper than that. So, Jesus brings peace up in this particular passage, and he asks the question, did you think I came to bring peace? I did not come to bring peace. He said, I came to bring a division. Now, Jesus himself brings peace to the individual in God, right? That's where the peace is. The peace is not between mankind, even though that's what you'll hear, especially with Christmas on the horizon. Peace on earth and goodwill to men, and you know, everybody's happy together. That's not where we are. It's certainly not where we are with our country right now. The way that I see it, we are divided, and massively divided. He says, parents, you know, because my message brings division, right? If you're going to follow me, you got to forsake everything else. Because of that, parents and children are going to be divided, and friends will be divided against friends, and it's your own household. Even in your own household, there's going to be a division, and your enemies will be part of your own household. So this is like a major thing that Jesus is bringing up, and it's not a very popular doctrine or teaching. It's one that I don't think the people wanted to hear, because I think that they were looking for Jesus to be the unifier, one who would come in and get their government under control, empower the people, and make a change. Remember, these people were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, and they're, what they wanted most was for somebody to come and take away the things that were ailing them, the government, the oppressive government, the way that they were being treated, and somebody to rise up and fight against the enemy. And that's not why Jesus came. And he says right here very clearly, I came to bring the sword. I came to bring division. It's not him personally that does that. It's his message that he preaches. That's what does that. The key verse in this section, though, is in verse 38 when he says, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. The kingdom of God demands for us to lose our life. Right? If we're going to find it, if we're going to find life, we have to lose the life that we have and get a new life. Our old ways of doing things and the way of thinking, our flesh and all its passions, all that stuff is set aside. And we are to support those who follow Jesus. When he says that, you know, if you receive a prophet, if you receive a righteous man, anybody who receives me, what he's saying is he wants unity in the body of Christ. And we are to be receptive of those who preach the gospel, right? Guys, we have enough enemies outside the church. We don't need any in the inside of the church. And I think that after, you know, a couple decades of ministry here, the church eats itself. I mean, I've seen it over and over and over again. We're our own worst enemy. We put, you know, our fleshly works on display. And it's not necessarily the sin that we get involved in. I think the world can understand that Christians sin. But the one thing that the world doesn't understand is when Christians fight each other. It's just a terrible thing. The kingdom of God demands for us to lose our life. And, you know, when we look at getting along with those, we are co-laborers with anyone who calls on his name. And, you know, we need to understand that that is a high priority to God. It's a high calling, right? And we are to take care of one another, because we all have this issue of a job to do. And we already know that Jesus has been clear in his instruction to the church that, like we talked about last week, there's going to be a lot of persecution, and we are not to fear that. Well, one of the reasons why we're not going to fear persecution is twofold. Number one, because he's our Lord. Number two, because we have each other. Our end is really what we want to talk about here. And so in interpreting this, the first point I have for sort of what does this mean, right, is our end is his beginning. And he says, therefore, take up your cross and follow me, means be willing to die in order to follow Jesus. This is a call to dying to self. This isn't a call to get introduced to Jesus and sort of write your own ticket to salvation, come up with a way where you can continue to do what your flesh wants to do and follow some of the things in the Bible. This is a calling of death to oneself. It's a call to absolute surrender to him. After each time Jesus commanded cross-bearing, he said, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but the one who loses his life for me will save it. What is it good if a man is to gain the whole world and yet you forfeit his very soul? Although the call is tough, the reward is matchless, right? And I think we need to understand, guys, at our end, when we finally come to our end, when we're finally willing to die to ourselves, that's when we really begin walking in Jesus. And you can't walk in Jesus until you do that. You just simply can't do it. It's not going to work, right? Because it's not us that lead ourselves. It's we're following the shepherd. We become part of the sheepfold. And I think that so many times, we are really struggle with this because it's like we want both. We want to be a sheep, but we want to lead. And sheep don't lead. That's not their nature, right? It's not their nature at all. Our nature should be to pick up our cross and follow him, meaning death to ourself, death to our will, death to getting our way, death to getting what we want, death to satisfying all of our needs, and understanding that we belong to him now, right? So the second point of interpretation here is the assumption of what the Messiah would be. Whenever Jesus went anywhere, he drew huge crowds, right? And although the multitudes, they often followed the Messiah, their view of the Messiah was really skewed because it wasn't clear and it wasn't necessarily what Scripture had said. Though they looked at Christ that as he would usher in and restore this kingdom, they believed that he would free them from their oppressive rule in the Roman occupiers, that he would deal with all of their enemies. And even Christ's own inner circle of disciples thought the kingdom of God was coming soon, right? That this was going to wrap up and Jesus was going to handle this. When Jesus began really talking and teaching that he was going to die at the hands of the Jewish leaders and the Gentile overlords, his popularity sank, right? And we see that in Scripture because many of the shocked followers, they rejected him. And truly, they were not able to understand, they were not able to accept the fact that their Messiah was going to have to die a despicable death. And even though it is prophesied in Scripture, even though we know that prophecy clearly points to the Messiah, the Lamb of God that was slain for us, the Passover Lamb, the last Passover Lamb, they still didn't want to hear it. The Bible says that in the last days, men will have itchy ears. And I think that a lot of people in the days of Jesus, like today, they have itchy ears and they want to pull from Scripture the things that they believe apply to them, that are good for them, but they want to sort of leave on the table the things that are difficult to understand. This is not a difficult doctrine to understand, right? And if you look at it, it's exactly what the enemy would want them to believe. Yes, I can follow Jesus, the leader, but can I follow Jesus, the suffering servant? That is the question. The third point here is really the reality of following Jesus, which is what this talks about, what this section really talks about. Following Jesus is easy when life runs smoothly. Our commitment to him is revealed during the time that we have trials, during the time that we are tested. He assures us that we're going to have trials, obviously, and discipleship, if we're truly going to understand what that means, it has to be this cost that we have to pay, right? Jesus demands a sacrifice, period. And he says, pick up your cross and follow me. That's death to you and death to me. In Luke chapter 9:57, the three people seemed willing to follow Jesus, but when Jesus really questioned them further, their commitment was half-hearted at best, and they failed to count the cost of following him, and none was willing to take up their cross and be, crucify their own interests. And so Jesus, therefore, appeared to dissuade them. You don't want to follow me. You don't want to follow me. If you think about how difficult it's going to be in those days to follow Jesus when people had to pay with their life for it. So how different from the typical gospel presentation that we see today, right? And I wholeheartedly believe in the gospel presentation and the way that we do it. There is nothing better than calling people to Jesus Christ and seeing them make that sacrifice. However, there is another side to the truth about when we call people to Jesus. And I think that the latter days of where we are now is going to be different than where we've come from. Because I think the Jesus that we're going to have to portray to people is a more accurate Jesus according to what he said in this passage. You got to die to yourself. It's not about coming to Jesus for gain. It's about coming to Jesus to go to heaven, and you're going to suffer on this earth, because in the last days, if we're not raptured, we're going to go through a whole lot of suffering, right? And how different it is today, even 20 years ago, things have ramped up. We've become from being accepted to being the problem. And how many people would respond to an altar call today that says, come follow Jesus, and you're going to face the loss of friends and family and reputation and career and possibly your life. Now get up from your seat and come down and let us pray for you. You know, the number of false converts would likely decrease, that's for sure. And if you have this call, it's truly, you know, when somebody does follow, they're really willing to take up their cross and follow him. I mean, that's just, they have to be at that point. So in applying this, right, if you're wondering if you're ready or not to take up your cross, there's a few questions that are pulled from this particular text that would help you make that decision. And they're not easy, right? And the first one is, are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing some of your friends? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be alone if it means that you're following Jesus, but in order to do that, some of your closest friends are going to turn on you? And you think about that. And the second one is, are you willing to follow Jesus if it means alienation from your family? I mean, there's a lot of people that when they get saved, their family turns their back on them. Guys, we're living in a situation now where politically, if you believe a certain thing, if you're a conservative and you are from a house full of people that are not liberals, but leftists, then yeah, it's going to be a problem. There's people that aren't invited to holiday meals anymore because of their political beliefs. And I think that if we're able to divide over political things, that's the precursor to what's going to happen when the spiritual things come. And that there is a spiritual separation that Jesus is talking about here. The third one is, are you willing to follow Jesus if it means the loss of your reputation? The loss of your, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with the loss of your reputation when you stand up for what's right and it's looked at for being wrong? And the fourth one is, are you willing to follow Jesus even if it means losing your job? Because you profess to be a Christian, because you profess to have a morality that this world doesn't have, you could lose your job for speaking what you know to be the truth. And lastly, are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your life? Guys, the mark of the beast is something that, you know, hopefully in our lifetime we won't have to deal with. But if it is, you either take that mark or you die. And you could be murdered or you could die simply because you will not be able to conduct any business on this earth. Food, work, anything. Money, nothing. You won't be able to handle anything unless you have that mark. That is a reality. So, how do we apply this? There's two things here that I really want you to consider. And the first one is this. God is desiring our willingness. Write that down. In some places of the world, these consequences are a reality, right? But notice the question and how it's phrased. Are you willing? Are you willing? The following, following Jesus doesn't necessarily mean that all these things are going to happen to you, but are you willing to take up your cross? If there comes a point in your life when you are faced with a choice, you know, Jesus or the comforts of this life, which will you choose? Are you willing? Are you willing? That's the question that we really need to pull out from this text. That's what this is really asking. Now remember, everybody that was listening to this 2,000 years ago, all 12 of them had a free will. They could have said, no, I'm not willing. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give up my life to fall. I'm not going to give up my fisherman's job or my tax collector position or whatever it may be. I'm not going to give that up. These things are too important to me. But they didn't, because Jesus made a compelling point. This was going to happen. And he was basically saying, the kingdom of God is coming and you need to pick a side now. Number two, God is desiring us to count the cost daily. Commitment to Jesus, guys, means taking up your cross daily and giving up your hopes, your dreams, your possessions, your passions, even your very life if needed for the case of Christ. And only if you're willing to take up your cross can you be called a disciple. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's what we're learning from this text. The reward is worth, a great price. And when we follow Jesus, his call to death, to self, right? This is the gift of life that Christ gives us. He says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever wants to lose his life for me will find it. The only way, guys, we're going to find life, true abundant life in this world, is to give up all the things that we have. And that doesn't mean that we live a life of being poor or being lonely. Remember, if these things happen, or when these things happen. In other words, we could go long seasons in our life where things are going good and, you know, nobody's rejected us, but a time is coming when they will. And are you going to be willing? I think this is a message for the church today that we are to wake up, because this is coming. If we cannot say what we want in this country anymore because we're going to be rejected for the truth that we hold, how much more do you think they're going to let us speak spiritual truth if it doesn't line up with what they want? You see, what the world wants, in order for there to be a one-world religion, they're going to have truth. They're going to have a word. They're going to have a Bible. But there's going to be gaping holes in the pages because they're going to have to pull out things that are going to separate people. They're going to pull out the hard things. They're going to pull out the tough decisions and make it really easy. And you can't judge anybody, and you can't have a differing opinion. You just have to smile and get along with everybody, and that's that. And that's not the gospel that Jesus called us to. Not at all. And I hope you understand that today. I hope as you sit and listen to this sermon that it calls you out of your place of being comfortable. And maybe there's no persecution going on in your life right now. And I'm not saying that you should go find it. But I'm asking you, if there's no persecution, if nobody's judging you for being a Christian, are you really living that life? If you've never decided to follow Jesus, and you've been listening this morning and your desire is for Him, and your willingness is for Him, then the Bible says that all you need to do is confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. You'll be given the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, and with the wisdom and discernment, and God will radically change your life. Are you willing? Are you willing? If you made that decision today, find the phone number on the website that you're on right now and give us a call and let us know about the decision you made to follow Jesus. We want to rejoice with you in that. And if you listen normally, I want to leave you with this. He has shown you, man and woman and me, what is good and what the Lord requires of us, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. We gotta do those three things. We are biblically and scripturally mandated to do that. Walk with this integrity and justice and mercy and humility. These are the qualities that God has called us in these last days. And you're not going to have those qualities if you put yourself first. You're only going to find those qualities if you die to yourself. And I pray that you do that this morning. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next week.